I want to just dive right into the scripture this morning. This is probably the most famous passage of scripture other than John 3:16. It's the 23rd Psalm. It's one of those scriptures that is so powerful and so deep that when you recite it, you almost experience it. We all get it. It's so powerful that we can see it happening as we're reading it. So I'm not going to put it on the screen. I just want to read it to you. And I want you to let your imagination do the work this morning. Psalm 23, it starts with this. The Lord is my shepherd. You got him? You see him? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 23 is very personal. There are no references in Psalm 23 to we, us, they. It's all me, my, I, and you. The psalmist David is saying, Lord, this is between me and you. Something deeply personal is happening here. And we realize that as if you linger with the 23rd Psalm, it's not just some poetic exaggeration, right? It's not just a poet coming up with some beautiful words. You realize very quickly that David, the psalmist, the poet, has experienced God. He's experienced God in a very deep way. He's heard God's voice. He's followed God's lead. He's felt God's care in his life every single day. He's speaking from experience. And beneath the beauty of David's words, there's a solid conviction, and it was formed in crisis. That this whole Psalm 23, the whole chapter, the whole poem comes from the crises in David's life. The crisis points. You ever had a crisis point in your life? If you hadn't, hang on. All right, it's coming. Okay? Everybody finally hits those moments where they realize that this thing is bigger than them. The moment you realize that I can't fix everything. And sometimes it shakes us to our very core when we realize I can't fix it for my family. I can't fix my health. I can't fix this situation with my job or my business. It's out of control for me. And David has been at those places in his life, and he recognized how important it was to allow God into those moments and allow God to help him in the middle of those moments. In verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to put those on the screen in just a minute, David refers to God as he. Now get this. In verses 1 through 3, he refers to God as he. And then starting in verse 4, David starts to refer to God as you. He says he, and then he says you. Let's take a look. Verse 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You got this picture where David says, I'm talking about God, and then he changes and he starts talking to God. It's an important moment. Now, why didn't he just stay with, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort. Why didn't he just continue on talking to God or writing this poem like this? I believe the change came in verse 4 Because that's where David starts speaking about walking through the valley. In the previous times, in the previous lines, he's talking about God. He's saying, this is what God will do. It's a beautiful picture. He's talking about green pastures and all that goes along. He's talking about the shepherd. But now he's talking about the valley, and the valley is always a scary place. And have you ever noticed that we are more prone to talk about God when there's green pastures all around us, and we're more prone to talk to God when we're in a dangerous valley? When we say, when things are going great, we say, yeah, I serve God, I go to church, I love Jesus. But when we get in the valley, in that dark place, we stop talking about God and we start talking to Him. We start saying, Lord, I need You. I want You. I can't do this by myself, Lord. I need You to walk with me through that. And that's exactly where David is. He's in the middle of this place where he should have been afraid. He should have been nervous about it. When we are wandering in green pastures, things are great. But when it gets dark, you know, when in green pastures, we'll kind of wander away from God from time to time because things are so good. You ever seen that? God blesses you and you're like, I got it together now. I'm special. Look at me. We don't say this stuff out loud. We just act it out. We sort of start straying away a little bit in those green pastures because a green pasture is a beautiful, safe place. Everything's been provided that we need in that green pasture. But the minute you get into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a scary place no matter how you say it. The valley of the shadow of death. That means death is looming and it's casting its shadow over you. And life is hard and life is isolated. And that's when we start saying, Lord, I need to get back to You. It's always in those moments when we run back to Him. That's when we realize this valley is bigger than me. I don't want to get lost here. I don't want to have to stay here by myself. Look what David said about those crisis moments. God allows time in the valley. Just because you're going through a valley doesn't mean you're out of God's will. Just because you're going through a low moment does not mean that God has forgotten about you. Everything in verses 1 through 3 just makes sense. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. We love that stuff. Green pastures and abundance and all that we need. We love that. It makes sense to us. A shepherd is leading his flock in these pastures and the waters are calm. Look at it again. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. That's what we all hope for every day of our life. That I can just live today and every day moving forward. And I don't have to want anything, that God's providing everything I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That means there's plenty to eat and plenty of time to rest. You know, you get home today and you have that big meal and your recliner starts calling. You know the feeling, especially in a few weeks when the Cowboys start playing. But He makes, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That means you got a full belly. You've been satisfied, and you lay down in the green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. It's a place to get something cool and refreshing to drink. Again, I'm being provided for. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's just a beautiful place. But then in verse 4, it takes a dark and scary turn. If you ever had this moment in your life, you know that feeling. It's unsettling. Everything is just now all of a sudden, what are we going to do with this? And how are we going to handle this? And we thought we had life together, and now we're wondering what we're going to do. Look at verse 4. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now that's not confidence talking. That's not David saying, I'm a tough guy and I can handle it. No, no, no. He said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Because God, you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. He's really saying, God, I know you got this. But here's the question. Why would a sheep be going through such a dark and dangerous place? Why would he be there? Now, it's not because the sheep strayed away. We know that because that's not the point in this passage, because the shepherd is pictured as going with the sheep into this dark valley. He's going with them, not taking him back to the pasture he left him. He's going through the valley with him. The reason the sheep is going through the valley is because the shepherd led him there. The sheep is in the valley because the shepherd said, we got to go this direction. Now, why would a good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep ever lead a lamb into a valley filled with danger and death threats? There's only one possible reason: to get that sheep somewhere else that he has a plan for that sheep. He's moving him from one green pasture to another, but the only way between pastures is a dark valley. You may feel like it's a dark valley moment in your life right now. And you think, I wish we could just go back to when there was green pastures and still waters and full bellies and naps and it was easy. And God is saying, I got to take you somewhere else. You can't live there forever, because if you do, you will stop growing. And you will start talking about me instead of talking to me. God wants a relationship with us, and he is willing to allow us to go through discomfort to have that relationship with us. There have been times along the way with our kids where I know they're about to fall down and get hurt, and I just go, well, call the ambulance. Here it comes. We've called Jody from several hospitals saying, we're here in the emergency room. We're getting some stitches, or we're checking out a broken arm. I knew it was coming, but I knew that for them to get from here to there, there's got to be some learning that takes place. There's got to be some valleys along the way. There's only one possible answer to this whole thing. God's trying to get you somewhere better. God's trying to grow us. God's trying to develop us. This is a hard one, but our shepherd has appointed hard times for us along the way. He's leading us through valleys for reasons that probably won't be apparent to us for a long time to come. But rest assured, he's taking you to the high country where the sun is warm and the grass is lush. He's moving you and me in the right direction. Every valley is a pathway to something else. We're not supposed to live there. We're passing through. The valley isn't good, but the shepherd is. What kind of valley are you facing this morning? What's going on in your life this morning? The shepherd has you covered. The shepherd's got your back. How do you fight fear when you know what's going to happen next and your imagination is working overtime? We do this, right? Our imagination, we just lean into bad thoughts. Some of us call it planning for the worst. I'm just preparing. I'm just planning just in case. And throughout Scripture, he tells us, don't worry. Don't worry. Pray. Don't worry. Pray. And we're just like, yeah, but God, I'm different. I prepare for stuff. We let our imagination take us to dark places. How did David do it? David is very, very upfront. I love how transparent he was. He's the king, and yet he's writing songs like this. He's really letting us behind the scene. He had confidence that God was going to be with him. Verse 4 again says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Why did he have confidence? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He understood God's presence. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you know he's with you this morning? Do you know he's walking with you in your home and on your job and in your car? Later on in this same passage we just read, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy are friends that God has given us to walk with us every single day of our life. He is with you right now. He's with you if it's a doctor visit. He's with you on a job interview. He's with you if you're talking to a friend. He's with you no matter where you go. The psalmist actually says in a different place, Lord, if I go down to hell, you're there with me. He says, if I'm at the worst place I can possibly be, you're there with me, Lord. You love me and you have been faithful to me. David understood God's presence. Do you understand God's presence today? He is always working in your life. He cares about you. He has a plan for you. Here's the other reason he had. He trusted God. He trusted God's power. He trusted God's power. He trusted God's power. I've talked to several brother combos over the years, younger brother, older brother. And here's a recurring theme that I've heard so many times. The younger brother went around picking fights, and the older brother had to take care of the fights. The little brother had a big mouth, and the older brother had big muscles. And why would the little brother run his mouth and pick a fight? Because big brother was standing right behind him. And even when little brother was wrong, big brother was going to take care of him and defend him. Some of us feel like God said, here, jump out of the nest. You're on your own, and I'll see you in heaven one day. No. For you are with me. He's got your back this morning. We trust in his power. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod? Well, the rod was a club to fight off attackers. David understood this one well. He carried it with him everywhere he went. We don't use this in our society, but imagine somebody carrying a baseball bat with them everywhere they go. You'd be like, he's the last guy I'm going to mess with. I really don't want to bother that guy. He looks like he knows how to handle himself. He looks like he knows how to defend himself. And David wasn't saying, me, David, I know how to protect myself. He's saying, God, your rod and your staff. In 1 Samuel, earlier in David's life, listen to this. David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. That's what David said. David said, I'm carrying God, the rod of God. I'm carrying the strength of God with me. He said, I've fought battles before, and I'm going to take these sheep through this valley as their shepherd, knowing that I can protect them. And that's exactly what God is saying to us today. I'm going to lead you through this valley, but I got you. You can trust in my power. You can trust that I'm with you every single day. And then we can trust because we know God's care for us. We just know God cares about us. Your rod and your staff. A staff was just a shepherd's crook. You've seen it. It's just a long staff, just a long rod that has a crook on the end of it. And they would lead. They would use this to lead the sheep in the right direction because, you know, sheep are dumb. And I just need us all to recognize that God is comparing us to sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals out there. They don't know when the grass is gone. They will just stay there. And the shepherd has to go, come on, let's keep moving. Greener pastures are ahead. So he takes the staff and he guides them. If one of them falls in a hole, which they are prone to do, imagine that, dumb sheep fall in holes. They misstep. They make bad choices along the way. He takes the crook of the staff and he sticks it down in the hole and wraps it around the sheep and drags him out. And he's screaming and it sounds like a murder, but he drags the sheep out, puts him on all 4 feet, and he runs back to the flock again. It was a care thing. If a sheep falls in the water, he uses the staff. He reaches out. He grabs him because a sheep can't swim out there by himself for very long. And the shepherd's watching him and he cares about him. The shepherd was always there, even in the darkness, even when things were tough, even when it was scary. He was there in every moment of that sheep's life. From the time that sheep was born until he died, that shepherd took care of that sheep. God knew when you came into this world. God knows when you're going to go out. And every minute between there, you belong to him. He has a plan. He wants to help us. We got to trust him, though. We got to trust him. We got to trust him. I love the story as a little boy. And I'm going to close with this. A little boy named Kenneth. And his bedroom was in the third floor attic of his house. And he said every night he was scared to death. You know, his bedroom is in the attic. He said there were noises up there. And his dad would come up and read him bedtime stories. But he knew that that moment was coming where his dad was going to say, "All right, good night. I love you." He was going to turn the light off and he was going to walk down the creaky stairs. And Kenneth said he knew that the moment would come when he couldn't hear his dad's footsteps anymore. And he said then all kinds of noises would be going on in the room. The windows would be creaking. There'd be noises outside of the house. And he's up there in this dark room all by himself. It was safe, but it didn't feel safe. His dad would drive matchsticks into the corners of the windows trying to stop the creaking, and it wouldn't work. And he'd read those stories to him, and he would go down at night. But he said this. He said, "I remember my father said, 'Would you rather I leave the light on and go downstairs or turn the light off and stay with you for a while you fall asleep?'" I want you to get this question. He said, "Would you rather I leave the light on and go downstairs or turn the light off and stay up here with you for a little while?" And little Kenneth said, as an adult looking back, he said, "I chose presence with darkness over absence with light." He said, "I chose to have my dad in the room with me in the middle of the darkness than to have a light on and him be downstairs." He said, "I knew that if my dad was there, even if it's dark and even if there are noises coming out of the darkness, I knew my dad would protect me." Life is full of dark attics and low valleys and shadows of death. But he's promised, God has promised, that he would go with us all the way even to the end. So what do you need God to do this morning? We're going to pray for those things. We're going to pray that these valleys are shorter valleys. We're going to pray that the darkness is not quite so dark. We're going to pray for help in those moments. But we got to remember this, that even in those moments, God is still there with us. He is still there with us in those scary moments. He said, "I chose presence, the presence of my Father in the darkness, rather than the absence of my Father in the light." If God's taking you somewhere, he's there. He's on your side. He has a plan. And the key is not to get out of the valley. The key is to stay with the shepherd. as close as you can. When a child gets scared, what do? They run and grab their parents by the knees. Grab them. Here's what else they'll do. They'll hide behind the knees and look out. Just hide behind and peek out. Why? Presence. The presence of that parent. God is here this morning. God wants to help us. God wants to use us. God wants to be glorified in our lives. But part of that journey is trusting Him, even when we don't like the journey. I want you to stand with me if you would. What is it that you're dealing with right now that's creating this dark valley? What is it? What's the issue? What is the valley of the shadow of death? What is the death? What is the problem, the evil that you feel casting a shadow over you? What is that thing? And I think it's important to name it and recognize it. Here's what the Bible says. There's no name above the name of Jesus. You name that thing. What is the thing that's creating the shadow? Whatever it is, the name of Jesus is above that name. The name of Jesus. Here's what it says. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He's in charge today. He's in charge. He's in charge. If we can, let's just take a minute. If you feel comfortable doing this, just raise your hands right where you are as a moment of surrender before the Lord to say, God, I just give it all to you. I know that you are faithful and I know you care, and I want to just surrender my will to your will, my plans to your plans. I trust you. Father, I thank you so much this morning for your word. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for this 23rd Psalm, Lord, this more than a poem, an experience that we can have with you, Lord, through David's experience. And God, we can see ourselves in these moments, and we know, Lord, that you are with us. But sometimes we let worry get the best of us. Sometimes we let planning for the worst become our focus rather than the shepherd who is taking us through the difficult times, Lord. Help us today, God, to realize even when the valley is not good, the shepherd is. Help us to realize today, Lord, that you have a plan for us no matter what life looks like right now. You have a plan in mind that you want to be there for us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, God. Your strength and your tenderness are there for us every single day, God. We know you're not going anywhere, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for your help. And we just trust you, Lord, to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish in us, God. Just use us for your glory. Let your name be lifted up. Let other people be pointed to Jesus through our lives and how we handle the valleys and the shadows and the death. Lord, help us to, Lord, lean into you so that we can point people to you through these difficulties and these problems. Lord, we just give you praise right now. We thank you for what's coming. We trust you for what's coming. And God, we're just asking that your will be done, that you just have your way with us, that you just move in our lives. Lord, that your perfect will would be done. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 I want to say to somebody, if you're at a point of exhaustion in a valley, the shepherd is there. If you're at the point of fear in a valley, the shepherd is there. And here's what I always find comforting. In the valley, when we're tired and it's dark and we're weary and we want answers and all of those things, God knew that moment was coming before I ever saw it coming. I want to say it a little different way. God was already there in that moment before I even knew that moment was coming. He's been waiting there. He is there right now in the middle of that valley, and he wants to help us. He wants to help us. He's taking you somewhere. It's a journey. It's not always pleasant, but he's taking you somewhere. He's taking you somewhere. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, before we leave, I want to make sure you have an opportunity to surrender your life to Christ. We like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. The Bible says that we have to admit that we've sinned. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to confess him as Lord of our life. And then our journey with Christ starts. We start to learn how to walk with him, and we become a disciple of Jesus, right? We start listening to his words. We start applying his words. But we got to admit that we've messed up. That's pretty simple, right? I think everybody in the room can go with that. We've all messed up, right? We can admit that. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to confess him as Lord of our life, and that's the hard part. To say, Lord, it's not my life, it's yours. I surrender it back to you. I want to follow you. I want you to help me. I want you to guide me. And he will. And we're going to pray in just a minute. If you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, I want you to pray that prayer with us as we pray. Pray it in your own words as we all pray it together. All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to think. The Bible says we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'll say it one more time. The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb, who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus took care of that part for us. We're made overcomers by what Jesus did and when we testify to what he's doing in our lives. So if you're in a valley today, I want you to find somebody to testify to and tell them something God has already done for you and a way God has already answered your prayers in the past.